Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and today's episode is all about reclaiming your career, your purpose, and your peace in a world that measures success by numbers instead of meaning. My guest today is Dr. Deepak Bhutra, and he is a leadership coach, systems thinker, and author of not one, but six books, including his newest release, Rise Up, Your Career Reclaimed. Through his work with early stage founders and professionals, he helps people transform burnout into balance and pressure into purpose. And anyone that watches the show, you know this is one of my favorite type of things to talk about. Now, Dr. Bhutra, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to have you here today.
Ryan, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always amazing to get a host like yourself and be here. I'm enjoying myself already. That was a great promo. That was a great intro. I'd love to meet this person that you just introduced.
I appreciate that. And you know, today we've got a lot of awesome things to talk about. And you know, I want to start with something really important. Your new book, Rise Up, Your Career Reclaimed. It's more than a career guide, right? It's a wake-up call for anyone feeling lost in that grind. And I deal with professionals all the time that are stuck in that. And you know, I want to look at this from a different lens. I want our audience to feel this and connect with it, right? So many professionals, right, they feel stuck between ambition and exhaustion. And Rise Up bridges that gap, guiding people to find clarity, purpose, and sustainability in their success. So this segment, I really want to unpack why this message really matters. You know, now and how small self-reflections can really spark big change. So as the name of the show would suggest, I like to get right to the bottom line. I'm all about delivering value to our audience and to entrepreneurs around the world. So my first big question, this is a big book, there's a lot here. So the big question for it is, why this guide? What gap does it fill?
The gap. Let's ask a simple question, Ryan. Let's take you back a couple of years. You're 21 years old. You've just spent 10 years in high school and college, and you've put in a lot of effort. Most people that can relate to this will realize they spent thousands of dollars in getting into college. They spent $1,000, it's an understatement, right? And the reality is that you get a lot of support. You get a lot of people that are cheering you on. You get assignments, you get teaching, you know, assistants and stuff that help you with your stuff. And then one day you wake up and you start getting into the job grind. You find your first job and you're really excited. And then reality hits you. Wait a minute, I got the job, now what? Because the first 10 years are actually gonna define the next 30 years of your life. Now, whether you like it or not, even as an entrepreneur, you gotta focus on that. And for me, there was a gap. The gap is that we leave everything to chance. You as an individual have just gone through a very structured process to get your degree and do something with your life. And now you find yourself at the mercy of an organization, the whim of a manager. And to be honest with you, best managers, there's only maybe 1 in 5. The other 4 in 5, you're gonna have to take your chance. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are living on cigarettes and Diet Coke, ambition, right? The hustle, let's just do it. Because we have told them, we've glorified it. It is great glory. And with great glory comes great pain. But tolerate it, and people tolerate it. The bad news is, there is a very large percentage of people that suddenly become disillusioned. Now you're 25 years old and you're asking yourself, am I paid what I'm worth? But you don't know how to have that conversation. That's where I step in and I make it very clear that, hey, the same structure that you had, we're gonna give you something, think of it as a scaffolding.
Okay.
It's a simple methodology that, of course, when I started off with the book, my goal was not to write a 500-page book. It was not, Ryan. It was supposed to be a simplistic manual that gives you a very quick and dirty view of life and how to move forward with it, but from a career lens. Mm-hmm. We ended up with 517 because I suddenly realized the world is complex. Why now? Because COVID happened. Because the world is a different place. Because we work from home and everyone's now asking for that balance that used to early, when you used to say work-life balance, people used to look at you and say, oh, not with the soft snowflake stuff.
Yep.
It changed, right? Now companies cannot expect someone to come and work for them for 20 years. I worked for 11 years for one company, 7 years for one company, and now when I speak to the new age, they ask me, what? You spent that long? Why? How?
Yep.
What motivated you? We are now in a different world. And my message to that different world is, start early. Don't make the mistakes that many of us have made. If you start early at 21, by age 30, if you have followed a certain regimen, and you've understood what this book is trying to explain to you, and look at the frameworks in here, This is about coaching yourself to greatness. Yep. It's about improving your self-awareness. And people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on therapy, thousands and thousands of dollars on coaching. And the answer lies starting early, controlling your own destiny, controlling the way that you approach things. That's how I want to explain it. That's the gap. Don't rely on chance. Don't rely on others. Do it yourself, but do it with a structure that makes a lot of sense. Ryan, that's my long-winded response to this simple question, right?
Well, it's great because you actually covered several of the questions I had on this, and that's powerful. You have a really good way to articulate what this book is about, why now, why it matters, and really the people that are going to benefit from it. See, I had a bit of a different path myself. Yeah. I didn't go to college. I went to trade school, put myself to trade school, and I wanted to get to work as soon as I could. I wanted to try to provide and go a different route. And you know, it's funny because I met my mentor, and he threw me into the business world, trial by fire, really.
Yeah.
I was able to grow, bridge a major gap of knowledge and experience and training in a few short years to where I'm, next thing you know, I'm running this very, very large manufacturing company, right? But it's, a lot of it is finding a structure that works, finding a rhythm that works, but this consistent self-discipline of maintaining the attitude over aptitude. Exactly, because someone with the right attitude can teach themselves anything.
You know, there's something you said there. Let's just add a layer to it. And this is, audience, you can do this as well. You spoke about attitude, aptitude, and I'm going to add to that altitude.
Ooh.
The second you do those two things, you're going to fly so high. And you know, it's really important, and I want to get this.
You're starting to remind me of Dr. Miles Monroe.
I'm going to make a comment here on what you just said, which is a lot of people actually think that college is a price you pay for success. The reality is you go to college only to get the doors opening easier for you. It brings you a structure to some of the nuances of what you're thinking about.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, the way we have sold college is that if you don't do it, you're going to struggle with life. Because there is some mathematics or some statistics that just prove that. And the reality also is that some of the people that I consider successful, they can be successful from the back pocket point of view, lots of money. Mm. But success also comes from following your passion, following what you want to do. And to me, that's where I want to make this message clear. So it's very important for people to understand, it's not just about college, it's about your intentionality, your purpose.
Yes.
How will you figure that out? How do you then? And that was the intent behind the book. The book is not saying that because to be honest with you, the way you pitch it is that you've spent 10 years of your life. Even if you spend 4 years of your formative life and you skip college, I would argue that you still need that purpose. You still
100%.
Need that intent. And you mentioned mentorship. I tell everyone that's listening right now, go out there and find that one or two people in your life that you can go to and say, I am struggling, help me, make sense of it. And if you can go through that in the next 2, 3, 4 years early in your career and figure out those 2, 3 people that will stick with you, you will change your life. For me, those people are, that includes my mother, believe it or not. A lot of people think that you need to find a person at work. Yes, of course, find that. Person at work you could find a spiritual person that can help you make sense of what's happening with you. And to be honest with you, every person out there is a benchmark, a living testament to their own pain, their own struggles. You'll be surprised. You think you're unique in your pain and your struggles?
Exactly.
You're not. So share, and sharing is caring, as they say, right?
Exactly. You know, it's funny. I could not have said that any better myself. I couldn't agree with you more, in all honesty. Right. You know, if it wasn't for certain people in my life, I would not be where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So in, you know, the first bit of literature I ever published, it was with Jim Britt, Jim Lutz, and Les Brown in their Change series. And the thing that I talked about were my pillars or foundational points of success.
Yes.
Purpose, mm-hmm. discipline, unshakable belief, and then the people you surround yourself with. Those people can either be the wings that lift you higher or the anchors that drag you down.
Absolutely.
And it's vital. So finding a mentor or people that genuinely want you to be better, that's huge. It's major for success. And briefly, you know, what are some of the simple self-reflection, you know, points that someone can use to assess their career progression?
Oh, simple. First thing I can tell you not to do is don't benchmark yourself against Joe's got a bigger car, therefore I need to be Joe. Just stop that. One thing I always recommend to people is that at age 21, you actually don't know yourself very well. You've been so focused on trying to deliver to other people's expectations that you actually have not understood yourself. So I always tell people just step back a bit. Anchor yourself in a simple question. What makes me happy to get out of bed every day?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen today that would make me sleep so well? Like I would love to say a baby, but babies cry every day.
Yeah,
hours,
that saying drives me nuts. I have a 7-month-old at home.
There you go. So I'm grateful that you're looking shiny and bright right now, because I would not. So for
it's
me,
purpose. It's fulfillment. Doing this with you, putting you in front of an audience that can benefit from your book,
I am so
that's grateful. Fulfillment for me. So that's why I'm bright and shiny.
Yeah. And let's take that as an example, right? You have your purpose. Your purpose may not be understood by other people because ultimately it's your purpose. When I was writing this book, I'm not prescriptive. I don't tell you I need you to run 2 hours every day. I'm not telling you to lose weight. I'm asking you to do something which is, what is the need that you need to solve for? Don't benchmark yourself. Understand yourself first. And when you do that, you'll actually realize one of the things that I figured out very early was, which roles would I never do? I know it sounds weird. Sometimes, you know, it's like you pick up a plate and you go to a buffet. You have all these things in front of you. You know for a fact you don't like squid. You know for a fact you don't like chicken.
Yeah.
You won't pick it up, right? We know our food habits more than we know what we would like to do in life, which is scary. So my own son used to drive me insane. He can
That's
tell me
really
what he does
powerful
not want
point.
To do. He can tell me what he does not want to do, but he can never tell me what he wants to do. And I used to get upset with that, but then I actually understood one thing. He is clear that he doesn't like certain things and those are out of bounds.
Yep.
But that also means he'll find his happiness in what he knows.
Yep, that routine,
and
the comfort zone.
And I noticed the difference between him and his brother. He approaches life very differently. He's got this plate on which he doesn't even put stuff that doesn't matter. But what he puts on the plate, he gives it 100%.
There's so much to unpack in that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to our audience, we will be right back. Up next, Dr. Butcher shares what really drives sales pressure and how to turn anxiety and quotas into clarity and confidence. So don't go anywhere. Grab a cup of coffee or a snack, maybe popcorn, wherever you're watching this, whenever you're watching this. You don't want to miss what's coming up with Dr. Butcher. So we'll be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to The Bottom Line and every Now Media TV favorite live or on demand anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. You on the move? You can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We are still here with Dr. Butcher, and this segment is going to be a big one, pretty powerful, because we're diving into something that every sales or business leader can really relate to, and that's a simple word. Very deep word though, pressure, right? That feeling of chasing numbers, targets, and success while wondering if you're slowly losing yourself in the process, right? You know, in a world obsessed with performance metrics, many professionals confuse productivity with purpose. So this segment really explores how to turn sales anxiety into a sense of empowerment by aligning mindset and mission. And something I really like to say a lot of the time, you know, it's don't confuse doing more with getting more done. And when it comes with pressure, especially in the sales world, it's pretty easy to fill your time with things that don't actually get things done. But Dr. Butcher, I'm so happy to have you here. That first segment was stellar. I love learning about the book. Now I want to dive into something that I know all of my clients deal with. So first big question I have for you is, why do so many sales professionals feel like they're always chasing the number instead of driving value?
It's very easy, Ryan. Every conversation is, hey, buddy, where are you in your quota? Hey, buddy, what's happening to the Rogers deal? When are you closing that? Just step back for a second here. If you're going to measure, I call these rearview mirror numbers, right? The numbers appear because of something you do. No one talks about the something you need to do. Everyone's talking about the outcome. So when you're constantly talking about the fact that it's like, you know, you're dieting. And I want you to imagine how good you're going to feel when you've lost all that weight. That's positive. But in sales, it's as follows. I want you to imagine if you lose that deal. That's a performance improvement right there. Hey, buddy, we can't afford to. You know what? We have a problem. Guys, we've got a gap. You've made everyone's problem that single person's problem. That's a burden. Two, there's this thing that I've caught, and this, I'm very cautious how I say this because I don't want to upset anyone here. Sales is a noble profession. But when we think about sales, and I want you to just think about this for 1 second. What image comes to mind? What do you think about when you think of sales? What are you imagining? I mean, in your daily pursuit, what type of salespeople are you meeting?
It's so funny because when someone says anything about sales and salesmen, I immediately think of door-to-door salesmen trying to sell me solar or some kind of product.
Yep. Yes. to me, it's always fun, right? You think of the cheesy used car salesman.
Yeah. Right?
You think of, I went into a furniture store, the guy was going, what brings you in today? How can I help you? Right? Mm-hmm. Just call me, I'm standing right over there. And what I try to tell people is that when we talk about selling, we are talking about a noble profession. This noble profession is focused on asking you, Mr. Customer, what can I solve for you today?
Yeah.
And now comes the reality. Why are these guys stressed? They're stressed because they're always being forced to be measured on stuff which is an outcome of something. No one ever says to them, hey, you're right now working on the Rogers deal. I heard you on the call today. I noticed that you use a different script this time. Did it have the same impact or not? Because I felt that you were slightly off. How do you think we should look at this? Suddenly he's thinking, that, well, he's not asking if I messed the deal up. He's actually asking me, what do you feel about what you did in your performance?
Yep.
It leads to a conversation. And if there's one thing that I request sales leaders to do is to have that conversation. One of the things that we do is that we talk about the role of the person.
Mm-hmm.
We never talk about the identity of the person. Why are you in sales? When last did you ask that person that question? How would you feel if you were to win this deal? How do you think your customer is going to feel when this deal is successful 6 months from now? What just happened here? You just changed the outcome. The measurement for success has changed. Your behavior is going to change. If every conversation starts as follows, hey guys, what problem are we going to solve for the Rogers Group?
Mm.
What is their pain? What are you solving for? How long do you think it's going to solve for? And then only in the end you say, by the way, how big is this deal? That sets the right pace and the right temperament, because you're always talking about how big a deal is, which sales stage is it at, because someone's got to go and put it into the CRM. You're asking questions to support your business. You're not asking questions to support his identity or how his customer is going to use your product or your service. And that mind shift is what I'm begging and pleading on in the session with
you. You know, it makes a lot of sense, because when I'm dealing with my clients in any world of sales, you've got to understand motive, intent, and one thing I really like to play on is purpose. Yeah. When you can feel like you've identified somebody's purpose, it is a great way to break down walls, to find alignment. If you can align what someone's doing and how it brings them closer to serving their purpose, their bigger goals, you now have someone who's motivated consistently to go above and beyond and seek results and improvement, right? When you just cut somebody off because of numbers.
Yes, then you have.
Exactly, there's no room to grow.
That's really interesting there. You know, Ryan, you asked this question and there was this thought that came to mind, because if someone's listening is gonna think that, hey, wait a minute, is this about my purpose? Is this about the customer's purpose? Here's my answer to this one. It's about both.
Mm-hmm.
It's about both. Your purpose is to make a living in the best way possible by solving problems that customers have. The customer's purpose, if you know it, allows you to now align your purpose with theirs.
Yep.
And the purpose question that I typically would ask is, what are you and I talking about? What problem have you felt that you feel that you and I should be talking about it? Typically, you've had a cold call or you've reached out to this person. Something's triggered a thought process. Dig into that.
Yep.
Then ask them, what have you done to solve this before? That's a great way. You're not asking them, what's your budget yet? Because the first thing that people do is always get into, let your customer tell you what their budget is. Don't go push it so early in the agenda. More importantly for me is that I've realized that in B2B sales as a seller, when I find out the purpose, I need to get the purpose from two angles. The purpose of the company,
mm-hmm.
the pain, and then ask yourself a simple question. This decision maker that I'm selling to, what does he get out of it? And the light will be going off, because you're suddenly realizing he's going to tell you, the last two projects were a mess, guys. I really need to make this project successful. Well, that tells you that he's got a job risk. He's got a reputational risk. You will now start pitching and aligning to close that gap for him, because now you made it personal. His success is what you want to deliver on it. And this is the, and I've noticed the rock star salespeople that can align their purpose with the customer's purpose at both a company level as well as at a very personal level, they're going to get that deal.
Trust in relationships.
Absolutely.
100% of the time outdo typical sales tactics.
Yep.
Because when, like you said, when you understand what somebody's up against, what they're looking for, what they're after, what the risks are, you can align with that, and you're speaking to a problem that needs to be solved, a solution that you possibly have. And for me, that's all about just service. I'm here to genuinely serve you. So if I can find what this service will do to help you, to sustain you, to, you know, you're now going to set the foundation for, I trust you.
Therefore.
Exactly. I trust your service or your product. It changes things. But, you know, what happens inside somebody when the pressure builds up and they start feeling, you know, really fearing every call and meeting? Because that can't be good for their day to day.
here's what's happening there. The reason why my dear friends are feeling the pressure is because you've allowed to be measured on the wrong things. You're right now sitting there thinking, I need to get this deal, because if I don't get this deal, I won't make my quota. Stop. That should be the least of your worries right there. That's where it typically starts. You create pressure because you focus on the wrong things. To me, there's this good Samaritan approach to life, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to start thinking about, if I save someone's life, will he reward me? Then you will never save someone's life. So I always tell people, if you're looking, and that's why I call it a noble profession. If your goal is to, and I have this little tip that I can give people, and I've used it very successfully. On a post-it, just right there, their pain matters, not mine.
Yep.
And stick it on your monitor. And every time you feel that pressure that makes you think about forcing this harder, selling more, let's get close, because that's what we taught, right?
Yep.
Always be closing, Ryan, always be closing. And I'm telling you that is the worst advice you can give to someone. Let your customer walk away. He maybe doesn't want to buy today. But if he walks away feeling that you are the trusted guy, he will come back.
Exactly.
And this is the boomerang approach to life that I always tell people about. Now, is this touchy-feely? Is this, come on, people, it doesn't sound like it happens, right?
Look. But it does.
It does. You nailed it. It does. And the point is that people are so busy learning all the closing techniques, no one is actually understanding how the guys are becoming trusted advisors. Because you become a trusted advisor, you're not selling or closing. You're
exactly.
doing something else. And no one focuses on this, something else, because they think it's idle chit-chat. It's not. You're building bonding rapport up front, and that changes the context of the game later on.
It's similar to the way that I chatted with you about being on the show. I'm not here to sell you anything. Mm. I'm here to present an opportunity that I think aligns with what your mission is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, where can our audience find you? This conversation is powerful. So I want to know, how can our audience reach out to you, get connected, and learn more about your mission, your book?
Very simple. Very simple. Ladies and gentlemen, I live on LinkedIn. Yeah, just go on LinkedIn. I'm spending 3-4 hours a day there. I'm connected to thousands of amazing people. They give me feedback on my work. I am diligent with my comments. Send me a direct message. And of course, if you really want to find me, no harm done. Just get on Amazon.com, type my name, and hopefully this book will pop up. Otherwise, you can pick up any of the other 5 books that I've worked on as well. The reality is that finding me is easy.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, when you find me, what will you do about it? And my request is, just drop me a note. Just tell me, hey, heard you. I thought this is interesting what you said. And by the way, challenge me. I have no problem with being challenged. I'm learning as well. But my goal is pretty simple. Anyone who wants to have a virtual cup of coffee with me, you're welcome to do that. Tell me what's on your mind. Tell me what's up. And I will figure out a way to give you some advice. And if we can work together, that's even better.
See, and I have to admire the way that you spoke about that. Because one thing I like to try to, you know, tell people all the time is just reach out. You don't have to have a plan in mind, nothing like that. We can just talk about things, talk
Absolutely.
About business, talk about problems,
Absolutely.
Talk about life.
Yep.
Just let me serve you in the ways that I know how, but don't come with a plan of, here's where I want his help. Let's just talk, let's break it down, and let's see where the value lies and where the help can come from.
Fluidity in the moment is
exactly.
what I tell people.
It's real connection.
Absolutely.
You know, and to our audience, coming up next, burnout in business. Dr. Boutra reveals how high performing cultures can really thrive without, well, burning their people out. And that's such a hot topic to talk about. A lot of the businesses I deal with, they fight with this. So if you're interested in learning about this very complicated topic, please stick around and we will see you right back on The Bottom Line. We are back on The Bottom Line and I'm still here with Dr. Deepak Boutra. And in this segment, we're talking about something too many professionals know firsthand, burnout. I have lived through this more times than I can count. Now I try to spend my time helping others avoid it and stay away from it, right? But burnout, especially in revenue-driven environments, you know, the line between ambition and exhaustion gets really blurry really fast. So, you know, the topic here, you know, high-achieving cultures often praise, you know, overwork and consistent hustle, but at the cost of well-being. You know, this segment really explores how leaders and organizations can sustain performance through empathy, structure, emotional intelligence. You know, words that seem real simple, but in the moment, we tend to overlook these things. So, Dr. Boutra, it's such a pleasure to have you here. This conversation is beyond powerful. I'm probably gonna be able to send this content to a lot of my clients, as a matter of fact.
My pleasure.
So, I wanna dive into this topic because this one is plaguing a lot of, you know, corporate America, you know, entrepreneurs, early to mid-size, even large businesses. And I wanna start with, why do revenue-driven cultures so often lead to burnout rather than sustainable success?
I think let's just kind of, before I jump into that, just I want to just give people a peace of mind here, which is, I don't think, Ryan, you and I are here to say that hustle culture is bad. I don't think that you and I are saying that ambition is something that you should stay away from. What we're saying is ambition is awesome. Unfettered ambition with no structure, no scaffolding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're on an airplane and when the pilot, you know, someone says the masks will come down, put the mask on your face first, mm-hmm. and then serve others. When I first heard that, I was like, what if I got a small baby next to me? I got to take care of the baby first. What about granny? I got to take care of granny, right? And then I realized the cruelty of the world is that if you don't take care of yourself first, granny will suffer. That child will suffer because all three of you have not delivered what you're supposed to do. You as an able-bodied person should have taken care of yourself first because that then gives you the capacity and power to take care of others.
Yep.
And here's the problem with hustle culture. We are so thinking about the destination where this plane is going that we actually don't think about what can happen along the way and how and what are my obligations to myself and how those obligations then help others. So for me, when we talk about revenue, you got to understand one thing, you know. People go into sales because one, it's uncapped income. You make kick-ass salaries. An average, I would say, B2B salesperson in the US makes at least 3 to 4 times more than the median. Now, when you are at that level, you are expected to take the nonsense that comes with it because there's this assumption. Since we pay you so much, therefore, you should take all the pain. The reality is that we're all human, right?
Yep.
At the end of the day, people forget that. And when you are human, and I actually watch people when they're hustling, there's another can of Coke.
Yep.
Talk, 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 talk. Let's keep banging it away. I don't like this exact summary, but the proposal's due in 2 hours. No, no, let's do another variation. Awesome. What you're doing right now is you're simply getting into perfection.
Yep.
You are now at the law of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the request that I would make to people is as follows. Respect hustle. Absolutely. Ambition is great, but hey, success. And balanced success is the right outcome. How do you achieve that? So when I was thinking about the book, right, and I was thinking about what I wanted to put into the book actually even talks about simple things such as how to balance your social media obligations.
Yep.
I know it sounds funny. People ask me about people, how do I help myself then? Because revenue is not going to go anywhere.
No. Yep.
Revenue is an outcome. Focus on the input that you're going to do.
Exactly.
Work on the input. Align your values to that input. Ask the questions. What problems are we solving today? If I solve these problems, what are the things that I'm going to get out of it? And that's when the revenue comes in. We have an amazing way of measuring outcomes by looking at the numbers at the end. Ask yourself. Today, I had a conversation with 5 customers. Those 5 customers, I identified pain with 3 and I actually said something that I think can help them a lot. Ask yourself, can I improve that ratio? How can I have better conversations that solve problems? And when you solve problems, the money will happen.
Yep.
The deal will happen. And I think that's the mindset. And I'm going to pause there because there's so much I can get into in terms of the nitty gritty and the stuff to do there. But Ryan, your show, your rules.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you and I align so much in thought. It's unbelievable, as a matter of fact, because the whole time you're talking, I'm just going through some of my keynotes in my head like, oh, that's a bumper sticker I use. That's a phrase I use. That's a way of saying that
slogans,
impacts people.
T-shirts, buddy. We can
exactly.
Be
it's brevity,
absolutely.
Right? It's those little things that you can say that now means a whole lot in triggers a lot of those feelings and memories of different things said before and lessons they've learned, whether it was easy or hard. So one of the things, you know, I really like to think about is, you know, we can talk about pressure, we can talk about performance, but don't chase the dollar. The more you chase the dollar, the more you chase the revenue, the harder it's going to be to get it. The world starts to revolve around it. Really, chase impact. Chase purpose, because the dollar is a byproduct of serving your purpose
yes.
and making an impact.
Yes.
So how would you define impact?
Impact is pretty easy, actually. Impact is that you go to bed and the feeling you get is not one based on how much kaching was in the bank balance,
mm-hmm.
but the impact is I'm tired because I had these conversations and my success was I got the deal, but this is what the customer felt out of that process. This is what I feel and this is what I learned. Every time I win a deal, I ask myself a very simple question. What did you learn from this deal? So that the next deal win is the probability improves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always learning. And in that mindset, you celebrate, you pat yourself on the back, but then you ask yourself, and I know this sounds odd, could we have done this better? one of my favorite questions to people is that, you know, as you're doing the revenue chase, ask yourself a way of looking at things differently. The question that has been very powerful for some of the people I coach is, how could I lose this deal? How could I undersell the value? What could go wrong? Now, people tell me that, isn't that a negative way of looking at life? I'm like, no. The way that I would position is as follows. If you do not lose that extra 40 pounds, what is happening, Deepak, is that you're most likely going to cut your life short by about 6 years. You may be miss out on having that grandchild that's going to be in your lap. So I think you should do something about that. Now, suddenly you're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, I had so much joy with my son in my lap. I want my grandchild. You might then be motivated to. So I always tell people, go to bed thinking about what are those soft things that you really want to get a kick out of. I want to, as an example, I want a deal. What type of deal do you want to win next? Keep thinking about the next deal. How are you going to do it? But think about it in a positive way. That's how I position it.
Yeah, the way I see it, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because to me, that's almost like the law of attraction, right? It's like that manifestation aspect. You find what you're looking for. Yes. If you seek, you're going to find it, right? You know, you can knock on a door so many times, and eventually it's either going to come down or it's going to swing open, right? So there's that aspect of it, which is vitally important. And, you know, to kind of go full circle on that, I think the way that I define impact is very similar to yours, and I think I can summarize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. For me, impact is change in others. If I know I've made an impact, if the person I've influenced has changed their action, their thought, their, you know, position in reality, whatever it is, if there was change made in a positive way, I've had positive impact. Right. But you can also have negative impact too, and it all boils down to the influence in life.
Fair.
And that makes a big difference as well in the process of this book. You know, we talked about mentors and things. Those good influences can change everything, but also at the same time, it can help you prevent burnout. You know, as the topic of this segment particularly is, you know, burnout is just too often. And we can get into that mode of chasing numbers and things, but when you're chasing purpose, you're chasing, you know, fulfillment, things of that nature, you don't burn out as easy. You just don't, because you find happiness and joy in doing that.
Correct. And the reality is that, Ryan, when you're focused on impact and purpose, your stress management systems are working differently. There's this reality in life that a lot of people don't understand. Stress is actually good for you. The problem is when it goes over a certain limit and when it's sustained for too long. The reality is that you need to not cope with it, you need to progress against it, and there's a different way to approach it. What people are doing right now is that, I know I'm burnt out, but I need to do this and I will rest one day.
Yep.
Right? Lack of sleep never killed anyone. Well, I assure you, lack of sleep will kill you when you're suddenly driving your car and you make a judgment call due to that lack of rest.
Yeah, 100%.
And you're gone, mate. The newspaper headlines are going to say, man fell asleep at his steering wheel and rode right off. That's what's going to happen. So for me, these are simple metrics. Some stress is good for the system. The tolerance level for people differs. Figure out what's your tolerance level. My tolerance level took me a long time to figure out. My request would be, figure out that little mantra that you could put to use, and then go for it. And Ryan, there's so many tips that I can throw at you, and you'll be shocked. Some of those tips are so easy. Nothing complicated, my friend. It's not that you need to read a 500-page book. Yeah. It's not, ladies and gentlemen. It's about doing basic, simple things. You know what I do is, I know I sleep well if I know that my diary is clean. So I spend 20 minutes before I sleep cleaning up my diary, and then I sleep like a baby.
That's powerful. You know, you talk about those mantras and things like that it can really make a difference. You know, in one of my keynotes, it's called Earned, Not Given, Outworking the Odds. You know, I struggled for a very long time with burnout and not overdoing it, right? Finding that dichotomy. You know, people say balance for work and life, but to me, balance is just not the right word. It's rhythm. Balance implies equal, and the world does not allow you to give equal to really anything. It's what works. In the moment, sometimes life needs more, sometimes business needs more, but my mantra that, you know, you're making me think I might need to evolve more is, if you do what's hard consistently, life will become easy. If you do what's easy, life will become really hard. So you gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable, but you're making me understand uncomfortability is good, which I know that, but only for certain periods.
Absolutely.
And you've gotta understand your limitations. So listen, you've heard this from Dr. Deepak Boudra, and you probably should take that seriously, because even for me, there's some epiphany involved in that. So to our audience, there is so much here we are unpacking that is extreme value. Honestly, I probably could have had a notepad and pen and been taking notes this whole time. So I know for a fact I'm going to be buying his book, because if it's going to align with my thought process on this to help people figure out that career, figure out how to really stay in alignment with what they believe, what they want, that there's power in that beyond anything. It's just like finding a mentor that has already put that experience, knowledge, and skills in a book. So to y'all, to our audience, we'll be right back. And up next, Dr. Boucher shares how to lead with purpose, not just quotas, and why redefining success might be your biggest win yet. So we'll be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live or on demand wherever and whenever you want. You know, grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. If you prefer podcasts, you can listen to The Bottom Line anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and so much more, Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. We are in the final segment with Dr. Deepak Boutra, and this segment is a really important one. You know, all of these have been extremely important, but this is actually one of my all-time favorite type of topics to talk about. This one impacted me in many ways as I was growing, but we're going to explore one of the most transformational shifts in leadership, and that's moving from chasing quotas to leading with purpose. Completely different dynamic. And in a world driven by targets and pressure, reconnecting with why you do what you do can really reignite the passion, the performance, and the peace all at the same time. So, Dr. Boutra, it's such a pleasure to have you here, and I want to reframe this a little bit. I want to look at this from a perspective that, well, I would say majority of our audience has probably experienced one time or the other, and, you know, purpose creates clarity, right? And clarity really drives results. If you're wearing really dirty glasses, can you run through the woods without smacking into a tree? Probably not. But when those glasses become clear, you can be productive. You can dodge things. You can move quicker and with decisive action, right? So when leaders lead with heart, they unlock higher performance without the burnout part. This segment ties together the themes of awareness, purpose, with authentic leadership. So this is a topic I know you have a lot of deep understanding on. This is something you have focused on for years. You've put into practice. You've seen the good, the bad. You've experienced the falls and the major successes. So the place I want to start is pretty deep, but why is it so easy to become quota-driven instead of purpose-driven in sales or leadership?
I think it's because the second you say sales, there's a label. Mm. You just fall into the stereotype, and and that's the challenge, right? We have stereotypes which are sometimes good. There are stereotypes which are bad. I would argue that one of the stereotypes is that when you are not defining why you're in sales in the first place. Now, let's be honest here. People that get into sales, they typically have what they would say is a very selfish purpose, which is, gotta make lots of money. This is one role that lets me make lots of money. And I usually tell that person, that's awesome. I have no problem with that. But that's more of an outcome. It's a rationale for why you want to do something. But what's the purpose of doing it? Because to me, purpose is something that you're going to deliver by making all that money. Mm. Well, how would you do that? And they get very confused. I say, okay, let me ask a different question. People have purpose because they want to achieve something and they want to do something. Let me ask a question. If I were to go and ask a few people what they think about you, what would they say? And he says, they're going to say I'm diligent. They're going to say that I'm an honest guy. And I'm like, okay, cool. Now, as a salesperson, what would you like them to say? And says, I want them to say I'm a trusted advisor. And they said, now my question to you is as follows. The purpose of making money, in the actions you do towards that, if that's your purpose, like he said to me, I want to make money. Now ask yourself a question. As you go about delivering on that purpose and the actions you do, what does the other person see? And what words is he going to label? If he is not labeling it as trusted advisor, if he's not labeling it as honest, if he's not labeling it as accountable, promise deliverer, then you have failed because you mix up the purpose. You thought your purpose was, but at the same time, so this is what I tell people. Start with what is the brand you want to be associated with? Ask yourself that over 5 years from now, I was to speak to 5 of your colleagues and ask them, what are the top 3 words that you would define this person? And if you get those top 3 words, and now ask yourself, are my actions, my activities, working towards the purpose that people would remember those 3 words about me? If not, then you're doing things which are not lining up with this so-called purpose of yours, because your purpose was supposed to be mm-hmm. known by these three things. So my goal is very simple. I spend a lot of time asking people, what do you want to be referred to as? And they give me this. Then I ask a very simple question. If I would read your obituary, what I read in it? What would you want to hear in it? Here lies someone with a massive 401k, and that's it. Or here is the vice president of sales. And my request to everyone is that when you are stressed out on revenue, when you're stressed out on impact, ask yourself a simple question. You're on your deathbed. And I really get emotional about this, because this is really an epiphany that people have. Ask yourself a simple question. Who are you going to call upon? Are you going to call the last senior vice president and call and tell him, I'm so grateful for that massive promotion you gave me and I took a 20% jump? Are you going to call your pre-sales engineer and tell him, buddy, the work you did on that deal that we won was awesome? No, you're not. You're going to call the pre-sales engineer and you're going to tell him, hey, remember the time when we were having a beer and you told me that your wife was leaving you and I stood next to you? I'm not feeling well. I would love to have a long conversation with you and see how you progress in life. That's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You're not going to have a conversation on the last promotion you did and what, because when you're on your deathbed, you suddenly ask yourself, what did I do? What did I account for? And that abacus of calculation better be different. Better be different. Otherwise, you're going to be in so much trouble, because that's also why purpose is so important, right? Because if your purpose is absolutely frivolous, that I want to visit 20 countries by the age of 29, it's an awesome goal,
yes,
but it's not a purpose.
Exactly.
And that is the challenge that we face in this world. And to be honest, in a quota-driven culture, where your entire existence is because you want to get onto the sales kickoff and be called out as account manager of the year, Deepak Boothra. Yeah, man. Sales kickoff, you want to get the best speakers, you want to get everyone full of good stuff and food and celebrating for 3 days, a success. I would argue, let's not only celebrate achievement of a number. Let's celebrate failure. Deepak worked on a deal which we lost. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, we lost the deal fair and square, but we learned so much from that. I like to give Deepak a recognition of the biggest learning moment of the year goes to that deal that we lost. Mm. Deepak, come on ahead, buddy. And everyone, this is a learning experience for us.
Yep.
That changes the culture and the mindset.
100%.
And that is what I'm asking people to do, is we call the guy and say, biggest deal of the year. Is I actually got an award from an amazing manager, British guy, and I fell over laughing. He actually surprised me and says, I want to give an award to Deepak for, and we're going to call it the steering wheel award. This award is given to the individual who made the biggest mistake and we should have lost the deal. But the way he recovered from that and the way he built that trust back, the deal was not a sizable deal, but I really think. So they gave me a steering wheel award. And they actually, from Volkswagen,
that is incredible.
Mounted, and he said to me, for momentarily losing away in life, but buddy, holding on tight and bring it back home. I just sat there thinking to myself, but that's so different.
The power in that, though.
The power in that is powerful. The same guy would also ring a bell. Ting, 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 ting. Hey, guys.
Yep.
Remember that RFP that we've been responding to for the last 3 years? Well, guess what? We did it for the fourth time. But this time, we actually got a call back from procurement to go meet them. I think it's a huge momentum. Now, guys, let's keep it going. And everyone's like, yeah, let's keep it going. No one is focused on winning the deal. Everyone's focused on what's the next step. And the next step is not win the deal. Next step is maintain momentum.
Yes. You know, it's crazy, because this went from an interview to a masterclass, if I'm being honest. This right here is beyond typical value of an interview that I would normally give. There's so much power in what you're saying that it's profound. This is something we should be charging our audience for right now, because this is incredible.
My bank account details are...
Exactly. You know, and it's funny because you addressed something that my mentor asked me a long time ago that changed my life forever. And it was the obituary questions. Yes. And he after a week of me taking the time to really chew on it, I gave him an answer. And I was not proud of who I was in that moment. So he asked me, okay, what do you want it to say? And that messed me up for a while. I took the time to really think about it, and now I try to think of every day before I go to bed, if I were to die today, what would it say?
What would it say?
Would it be closer to the man that I dream of being, or would it be further away? Yep. If I move one step closer every day, I know I'm going to end up a place that I'm proud of. And it's just like, you don't have to move a mountain all at once.
No.
If you move one stone a day.
Ryan, you know the best part is, you can learn from children. And I'm going to tell you a story about my 6-year-old. My 6-year-old comes up and says to me, hey, Dad, how do you eat an elephant? And I'm like, I'm busy working. What are you on about? How do you eat an elephant? And I go with him. I'm like, why would I want to eat an elephant? He says, no, you have to eat an elephant. How would you eat an elephant? And I'm looking at him and he says, come on, Dad, bit by bit. I just stood there for a second. I said, well, it's the right answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because what that child did was they applied what I call a curiosity lens to life, a very simple childish approach. And I think that's the problem with us. We apply adult lenses on every problem.
Mm-hmm.
Our lens says, I need to win. A child's lens says, we all need to win. And then you change your mindset. And to me, that was very profound. So I always ask myself, how do you solve a problem? Understand it, break it down into bits, and then start solving it. The first 5 minutes, you're going to solve part of it. The next 10 minutes, you're going to solve. And
yep.
Guys, don't rush to kick off something. Great inspiration comes by actually ruminating and thinking about what steps you want to take. Spend a lot of your time and majority of the time thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, take the steps, but then do the steps. The problem
take
with
the action.
Take
yep.
the action. Problem with humanity is that we have found 10 ways to think about something and then 9 ways about not doing anything about it because guess what? I know I'm going to fail anyway. How do you know that? Because failure is the price of success. Yes, but hold on. It's also a data point. The more failures you have, the more you understand yourself, right? I cheated 9 times on my diet. Each time I realized I did that because there was a dessert buffet that was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, right?
That makes a lot of sense and it really drives the point home. You know, to our audience, where can they find this book? It's coming out soon. Where can they get it?
So, this is the only copy right now that I have in my hand. Your production will be there, Amazon. Go on to Amazon, just write my name, Deepak Bhutra. Rise Up, Your Career Reclaimed is the title of the book. It should be there in, I would say, in the next 1 or 2 weeks, Ryan, hopefully when the episode goes live. You can find it there. And I'll also be doing quite a lot on LinkedIn as well, Ryan, in terms of the book, sharing more of the stuff that's happening over here. And you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, and I'll be doing a lot of snippets, nuggets from the
yep.
book, and I'll be talking a bit more about the frameworks.
This has been an absolutely incredible conversation, one of my favorite so far that I've had on this show, so thank you for being here with us. You know, we were able to talk a lot about aligning a lot of these very important things and defining purpose in a way that really matters. So to our viewers, remember, the bottom line isn't about just what you earn, it's about, you know, what you learn, about who you are as you lead this life. And again, I'm Ryan Herpin, and this has been The Bottom Line. Until next time, keep leading with clarity, courage, and purpose. And remember, success isn't given, it's earned.